All right, so let's talk about like some teams that are still playing in the tournament, Sam, and there's two of them that are actually playing in postseason still, and people are like, huh? I thought Utah State lost last night. They were the other one other than San Diego State. Well, San Diego State is obviously the one still alive in the Sweet 16. And then UNLV is alive in the NIT after beating Princeton on the road, taking care of Boston College last night, so they're still alive in the NIT.
Yep, playing Seton Hall on Wednesday, I believe it is, in the NIT quarterfinal, so one game away from going to the site there in Indianapolis.
All right, so we'll get to all that stuff in a bit. Let's kind of do a quick little wrap-up of some of the things that took place in the first 52 games of the NCAA tournament, because it's been 52. If you look at the first four on Thursday and last Tuesday and Wednesday, and then you add the 48 more that have been played. So what has been going on, Sam?
I love the conversations. I love the complete 180 that we've done this year, because remember last year during the NCAA tournament, oh, there's too many. I don't know that team. I don't know where in the country they are. Why am I watching San Diego State and FAU make runs to the Final Four? I don't like this. I need my blue bloods back. Now, this tournament has been lacking some madness. It's kind of going not quite a full 180, but it's gone a little bit too far the other way now. Yeah, you've had your Oaklands, you've had your Yales, but the Sweet 16 is looking kind of more like what people want it to look like, except you look at these first 52 games, and yeah, we ran through what we have seen so far in these, and
so last night, this, and I know you're going to get to it.
Yes,
we probably had the very best game of the entire like 52 that had been played, and that was the game between Texas A&M and Houston. Okay, so but up until then, those type of games have been few and far between.
Right, the only other one that comes close would be Colorado and Florida.
That is correct. So you've got the breakdown, yes, on kind of how these 52 have gone as a whole. And if people are sitting here wondering, you know, it just doesn't seem like there was the drama attached to these games as much as we've seen in the past. Well, the numbers that you have kind of reflect that.
Yeah, so looking at one possession games, and I consider a one possession game to be 4 points or less, because somebody can make a three and get fouled, and it counts as one possession. So games that have been decided by 4 points or less, there have been eight of them. A grand total of eight that have been close games that came down that you had to sweat out to the very end. A whopping eight of them. On the contrary, 32 games decided by double figures, and of those 32, 10 of those have been decided by 20 or more points. So blowout games happening a lot more than sweated out games. So think about that. To this point, there have been more games in the NCAA tournament through the first two rounds. There have been more games decided by 20 or more points than have been decided by one possession.
Yeah. And just so that everybody doesn't think we forgot, you know, like some of these games that have gone into overtime have like been like Creighton, I think, won by a bunch in overtime.
Yeah, FAU kicked the pants out of Northwestern in overtime.
Okay, so there's a few little quirky things in this, but like the numbers that you're giving me right now, how many games by double digits or more?
32.
32, and how many of those by 20 or more?
10.
10, okay.
Yeah, there's been more 20-point games than there have been one-possession games.
And that's so only from, like, in these this first 52 games.
Right, but here, we're going hard on the extremes rather than going to normal-looking final scores. That's kind of what I'm saying, is there was all these complaints last year about, oh, this isn't good for college basketball. This isn't great for college basketball either.
Yeah, I'm saying to myself, if you're trying to find a couple of like dark horses that are in the Sweet 16, like you're thinking of NC State, who won their national championship here in Albuquerque back in 1983, but they're an ACC school.
I think still,
I think had San Diego State not gotten to the championship game last year, people would have looked at them kind of as an outlier, dark horse or whatever. Am I missing anybody in the Sweet 16 that is considered to be somewhat of a dark horse?
I mean, I know when we saw them firsthand, and we, I mean, obviously we know that this is a talented team because they stuck it to. I mean, one of those games decided by 20 or more, unfortunately, was one of ours last Friday, but I would absolutely throw Clemson in that mix. I know they're in the ACC.
So really,
beat Baylor pretty comfortably. Went wire to wire against Baylor over the weekend, mind you.
Yeah. So here we are, though. Those schools are pretty well financed.
No Fairleigh Dickinsons. No Oaklands.
No Loyola.
No
Chicago's.
No Sister Jean's. Yeah, none of that.
No Florida Gulf Coast. You know, from way back when. I mean. Anyway, I think what that means is, like, we're going to see a lot of, I think the odds are that those trends kind of change, and we'll track it as we sit here next Friday. There'll be 16 and 8, there'll be 24 more games played this coming weekend as they get you ready for the Final Four. And we'll see how many of those 24 games are going to, 8-8. 24 games.
Yep.
You got it. And we'll see how many of those 24 games, like, have a little bit more drama. And I think we will see it. Also, no more drama. You told me this a week ago that Danny Sprinkle, Utah State, was going to be headed to Washington to be the coach of the Huskies. And sure enough, you were right on the money. That's been now a done deal, right?
Yeah, the rumor mill's been putting that out for a few weeks now, and Mark Ziegler can wipe the sweat off his brow because he put that out on Twitter last night, the writer for San Diego State. He put that out there before almost 24 hours before the news even broke, or certainly long before it. But yeah, Danny Sprinkle going to go take the job at Washington. And by the way, a Big Ten school now, the Washington Huskies. His next game that he coaches, Danny Sprinkle, will be in the Big Ten.
And he'll be coaching basketball at a program that had just gotten to the national championship game.
In football, yeah.
In football.
Right.
Talk about, you know, his little career path taking a bump. He was at Montana State.
With Darius Brown and Great Osabor.
Right. He was at Montana State this time last year. He's going to be the head coach for the Washington Huskies competing in the Big Ten.
Living in Seattle.
Next year.
Right, yeah, living in Seattle. Yeah, not quite the meteoric rise of Kalen DeBoer, but I guess on its own scale, because if you look at Mountain West football compared to Montana State, you know, maybe kind of similar. Of course, Kalen DeBoer from Fresno State to Washington to Alabama. Danny Sprinkle, Montana State to Utah State.
But I would actually say a meteoric rise, because like his happened over the course of 2 years. DeBoer, it was like a 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, it was a little bit more for Kalen DeBoer, yeah. which a lot of that is just timing, because with Washington, they're going into the Big Ten, so they figure we need a hot coach. We need a coach who's going to get, you know, at least give us a chance to compete. We need a coach who's hot right now, and the stars just happen to align, and that's Danny Sprinkle.
Every single year, it's that whole thing about how many jobs are opening and, you know, a good fit for you. I mean,
it is. It's not every year that a team's moving conferences, but.
Well, what I'm saying is there is not going to be a lot of. Oklahoma State is still open as far as we know, and what we've heard is that Coach Steve Alford, until, you know, he got his toe stubbed in that first round by that backdoor win by Dayton, was a leading candidate for that. But it, you know, a Michigan job was a big job that was filled, right?
Yeah, Dusty May from FAU. So I mean, you talk about these coaches. Dusty May's last game at FAU, his player forgot to keep playing basketball. They get pounded in OT. He goes to Michigan, and by the way, he might not be bringing his agent with him up there to Ann Arbor. Only got him 5 years.
You know what? 5 years ain't bad, and if you've got confidence in yourself that you can, I mean, he is going to the pro basketball program where the football program just won the national championship. I have a feeling his resources are going to be quite different when he steps on campus at Michigan. But going back to my original point is, like, certain years there's more job openings than other years, and from my vantage point, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of jobs open right now. So that's why Sprinkle, he could stay around at Utah State and never get an opportunity like this again. All right, you want to wrap that up? You'd want to, he's replacing Mike Hopkins at the University of Washington, who was assistant to Jim Boeheim at Syracuse long time, and was promised that he'd be the head coach at Syracuse when Boeheim retires, but Boeheim decided to hang around for another 8 years, whatever it was, and Hopkins finally said, I'm going to Washington, had a couple of good years right out of the gate, but failed. Now the Huskies have a new coach, and it happens to be Danny Sprinkle from Utah State.
And the only real big job that's really still open right now, to your point, is Louisville.
Well, if Oklahoma State's open, that's a big job.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
They're in that conference. I mean, no, Louisville is more of a basketball school, but I don't think it'd be a bad thing for...
Can't disagree.
Yeah, you're going to Stillwater and the T-Boone Pickens, the legend of T-Boone Pickens money still picking around down there. All right, we're going to continue this conversation. As you can tell, we barely got started. He's Sam Hauser. Joe O'Neill, ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
You're listening to Team Talk on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
We're not a Power 5 school, even though I think we're a Power 5 team. And so we're the last team in the country that's going to turn our nose and pretend like we're superior to anybody. You know, we practice hard, we play hard, and we respect everybody we play. So we're not looking at the seed, we're looking at the opponent. And that's kind of how we do things at San Diego State.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Congratulations to Dutch, the Flying Dutchers there at San Diego State. Aztecs getting by UAB in a tight one on Friday, just about the same time the Lobos were doing their thing against Clemson. And then the beneficiary, you got to say that, of Yale upsetting Auburn, the number 4 seed. And one way or the other, San Diego State shows up and just takes... them to task Yale and cruises to a win that reminded you of the likes of Purdue and UConn. San Diego State drubbing Yale last night, and Duke drubbing James Madison. I mean, San Diego State drubbed Yale, Sam.
They did. The only thing that Yale could have really done to get ready for that game was try to bring some of the football tackling dummies into the gym, or actually bring
theoretically, Auburn was a better team, better seed than San Diego State, and somehow they surprised them. They didn't surprise San Diego State, and I'm going to tell you that this whole thing about San Diego State not being a Power 5 team or a Power 5 conference, well, they benefited from one of those schools in those non-Power 5 conferences, and that's, like, I guarantee you, playing Air Force like they did few weeks back, like, it's got to have helped them do a quick turnaround against Yale, Sam.
Probably is. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they watched some of that film. Coaches will tell you, you know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Sometimes you need a little luck on the way to trying to make one of these runs. It is 2 years in a row, and this is total loser's lament, and I am not running away from that one bit. But it is 2 years in a row now that they've gotten a 13 seed in the second round who beat a 4.
Right. Okay, so last year, San Diego State had to beat Charleston and Furman.
Yeah, Furman was a 13 seed, beat Virginia, and then San Diego State got Furman to get to the Sweet 16. Now,
but they got Charleston in the first round.
They got Charleston in the first round.
And Furman in the second. This year, they got UAB in the first round and Yale in the second.
And now... karma's coming right back to circle around, because now your Sweet 16 game is a national championship rematch from last year against a UConn team that some people think is even better than last year's team. Better is always such a subjective word. They're different. Both these teams are. You know, kind of like we've been talking about with the Lobos. You know, when you have Jamal Mashburn Jr. and Jalen House on your team, yeah, you're going to run your offense through them. They're going to be your leaders. Of course, there's some sacrifices that come with that, but you make the best of it. San Diego State, to their credit, they lose Nathan Mensah, who's this tree of a man who should be out in a forest somewhere, and they found ways to be just as good defensively. They're scoring more. UConn doesn't have to worry about, not that he really, I mean, he actually was a pretty decent part of their run of the championship last year. Adama Sanogo just was this big man who didn't move much, but he was a mountain of a person, and now they can kind of move the ball around. So it's always just different. It better is maybe not the right word. It's just different. And both these teams are. And look, one game samples. If San Diego State can shoot the ball like they did last night, they got themselves a game against UConn. I mean, that's a big if, and I don't know how much we really trust them to be able to replicate that, but if they can do that, then we got ourselves a game.
That is such a big if.
Of course it is.
Because they didn't do it against the Lobos in the Mountain West Championship game.
They didn't do it against
anybody. The conference game. They didn't do it against UAB. They just, like, they do it when they need to kind of do it. I was, like, talking about that in reference. I remember when San Diego State was getting ready to go play Air Force. I think it was right around the time that that Air Force had beaten New Mexico. And we were like, maybe this team is kind of rounding out and could give San Diego State fits.
Nah.
Well, they didn't. In fact,
it was a 25-point game at the half, and it was. And San Diego State runs with it.
They were beating Air Force 45-20 at the half yesterday. 45-21 at the half against Air Force. 45-20 yesterday against Yale.
Uncanny.
And then we dove into the numbers because I said, "Well, if San Diego State is going to have a chance to beat Air Force, Sam, they're going to have to just play bully ball and get it into the lane and let like Ladie and them throw it off the backboard and grab it and keep throwing it in until they get." I mean, they were like ridiculously good from behind the 3-point line in the game against Air Force and then against Yale. I mean, they looked like. Pick a team that just gets up and down nailing threes and playing at a high speed. That's what San Diego State looked like yesterday, and they fed off of their lead. They kept growing their lead. You know, once you taste the national championship game, and a lot of the guys on that San Diego State Aztec team did, I mean, UConn, I will say this, way better this year than they were last year. Way, way better. Like, they got hot in this time of year last year. In fact, in one of their games, they were being challenged a little bit at the first half, and then just kind of, they hadn't looked back since then. So, San Diego State, very similar to last year. I'm not going to say they were better. I'm not going to say they're worse. But with them, it really comes down to, like, what kind of game is the perimeter shooter going to have? And if they make a reasonable amount, they're going to hang in there with just about every team. Not sure if they'll hang in there with UConn, but with just about any other team, I'll give them a shot.
That's their shot. And, yeah, Elijah Saunders, you talk about coming on at the right time. Elijah Saunders making some big threes. Birds, I mean, they got guys that can make them. It's just about the confidence and really, as we saw yesterday, as we saw over the weekend with, you know, with Utah State and Purdue, if you come in there and you're thinking, oh, Zach Edey over there, and you let kind of the aura of Zach Edey swallow you at will as it did to Utah State, if San Diego State can get past that with UConn, then you go to shooting threes.
Shame on us. Before we started talking about ifs and all this other stuff, one thing that has been a constant in these two games, Jaden Ladie. I told you that San Diego State didn't shoot the ball worth a lick against UAB, but ended up getting that W. Ladie in these two games has, if you're going to pick five guys in the entire tournament to take note of, Ladie would be one of those five, Sam. I mean, you know, granted, I love these guys making threes for them, but Ladie put them on his back against UAB and then got them going against Yale and said, okay, you know, I'll still chip in here along the way, but you guys, you know, do your thing for a while. I mean, he's been fantastic, Sam.
Two games in the NCAA tournament, Jaden Ladie, 29 points, 8.5 rebounds a game, on almost 67% shooting.
And what about his free throws? I mean, because he's going to, you know, like the you might say, all right, well, anytime he gets it underneath there, just don't let him, you know, score easily. Send him to the line. What's he been at the line?
83.3%.
Woo!
Now, he's averaging 9 attempts a game, so it's not astronomical, but he's 83% is 83%.
Well, the reason it's not more is because he's making them and they're not fouling him, Sam. I mean, for information purposes only, we need to mention, you know, that San Diego State is 7-1 in their last 8 NCAA tournament games. And so last year, you know, beating Charleston and Furman, they had to beat some pretty good teams a lot after that.
They beat Alabama in the Sweet 16, right. For gosh sakes. Right. I mean, you can't take that away from them.
No, you can't. And then, you know, this year, getting a draw against UAB and then having Yale upset Auburn, you'll take it, Sam.
I'm glad you brought that up because how quickly we forget San Diego State, like you said, what they've done in the last 2 years, you can't take away from them, but they have more, as a program, in their history of their program, they have more NCAA tournament wins in the last 2 years than their entire history up to that combined. And so, you know, they get to kind of own this in the world of what have you done for me lately, because Brian Dutcher was even asked in the postgame last night if he feels like San Diego State is this torchbearer for the rest of the conference. Because, yeah, the Mountain West hasn't done very good, and San Diego State has. And so kind of get to swim in that a little bit.
Small wonder we're here because we had the highest seed, you know. So seeding's important. And some of the teams in the conference didn't get seeded high, and so they had really hard opponents in the first round, second round. So these games can go either way. So seeding's important, and we've taken advantage of our seed. We put the work in to get that seed. We don't duck anybody. We play anybody that wants to play in the non-conference. And so we don't win a conference title. We still have a chance to get a high seed, and we've taken advantage of that seed again this year.
And I want to come right back to that, but just because he said we're not going to duck anybody in the non-conference, we got a little bit of a contradiction alert on Brian Dutcher. Because he was asked, you know, might you consider playing Yale in the non-conference to run this back?
I'll play anybody but Yale. No, they tried to schedule us. I mean, Coach Jones schedules hard. I mean, played at Kansas, played at Gonzaga, at Santa Clara. So we've had talks with them. So we'll continue to have discussions. And if we think it fits both teams, like I said, it'll be I'm not going to travel east to play a game, but if they will be willing to come out and play us, we'd entertain that on a one-game type deal.
Not going to go east. Don't want to schedule them. San Diego State.
He'll play him on an aircraft carrier. That's right there near San Diego State.
Then he gets to call it a neutral site game.
They have played games on aircraft, that.
Yeah,
but as far as bearing the whole thing, okay, let tap the brakes on that a little bit, okay? They've had two incredibly solid years, a year and a half of the NCAA tournament, 7-1 in their last eight games. But up until last year, Sam, they were 6-14 mm-hmm. in their previous 20 games, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're Gonzaga getting to the Sweet 16 9 years in a row. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the president and CEO of New Mexico United, Peter Trevisani, is going to join us. An unfortunate game. Maybe it was good that all these basketball tournaments were going on. United came up short over the weekend at Charleston. We'll talk to Pete about that game and the upcoming game against Phoenix here later. ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.